Tuesday of this week. Depending on where you and I reside, we may have had some little people come up to our door and knock on it. And when we opened the door, we saw some very interesting costumed individuals. And you may not have only had little people, maybe you had some bigger people as well. And they would say, trick or treat. And then it was at least hoped that you would place something sweet inside a bag that they were carrying. No cucumbers or carrots, please. Trick or treat. Now, where we live now, how many trick-or-treaters would you say we got, Valerie? Maybe 100. That's nothing. Now, I know some of you live in the boondocks, on the edge of the frontier, and you don't see trick-or-treater one. But where we lived before, trick-or-treating was over the top. When we moved there, one of the first things our neighbors said, do you have any idea what happens here at Halloween? And we go, we're totally ignorant. No, what happens here at Halloween? And they would go on to say, we get a lot of trick-or-treaters. A lot of trick-or-treaters. And he said, you might want to plan for about 1,000. And we go, yeah, right. 1,000 trick-or-treaters? No one gets 1,000 trick-or-treaters. We lived on a street called Oak Crest Circle. And during Halloween, they have law enforcement that shows up, and they block off the streets, except if you're a resident there, because there are so many people that come that they can't handle all the parking. And you may not believe me, but this is true. They bus kids into this neighborhood. Wow. So, our first Halloween in Placerville, I can't remember... They had scared us enough by saying, you're going to get a bun, so you better be ready. Now, I know that there are some dark aspects of Halloween. Hey, I get that. And I'm not here to tell you what to do with your life, but this is what Valerie and I have decided to do with our stance toward Halloween. We don't turn the lights out and pull the shades down and go into the back room and try to pretend that we're not home. What we choose to do, and this is just us, I'm not telling you how to run your life, but we have decided that we are going to be ready to meet the public, and we feel it's a wonderful way to interact with the community. And so we have a bag of goodies with very small, because it gets expensive if they get large. We have some small, sweet items. Again, no vegetables or carrots or cucumbers. And when someone comes to our door, we try to be very upbeat and happy and say, oh, that's a cute costume you have on. Or hope you're having a good evening, be safe. And just give them a smile. And we feel like maybe this is a way of a contact with a Christian that they might not normally have. So we don't pretend that we're not there. So, and there were some pretty cute costumes. Anyway, where we lived before, 1,000 trick-or-treaters. It was just crazy. But Tuesday was not only Halloween, but it was another holiday. Because 500 years ago, Tuesday, Martin Luther actually nailed his 95 theses on the door, the wooden door of the cathedral church at Wittenberg. And so Tuesday was like a special day. And I don't know if you had a chance, but I hope that you either said this or had it said to you, Happy Reformation Day. Did any of you give anyone a Happy Reformation? Well, I'm going to give you a Happy Reformation Day, Happy Reformation Week, because it goes on all week, and Happy Reformation Month, the month of October, and I know we're in November now. Significant event, October 31, 1517. It's understood as the birth of the Protestant Christian Reformation. It's when Martin Luther protested against some of the practices and beliefs of the Catholic Church. Now, we continue our series that I'm calling Reformation 500, because it's 500-year anniversary. And we are going to look at the second sola. The word sola is a Latin word, and sola means alone. Last Sabbath, we looked at sola scriptura, and sola scriptura is scripture alone. Today, I want to talk about sola fide, which is the second of the five pillar teachings of the Protestant Christian Reformation. And sola fide, as you probably can guess, means faith alone. Sola fide, faith alone. Now, Martin Luther had something very interesting to say about sola fide. He says, the doctrine, sola fide, the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. That's pretty important. That's pretty important if it has to do with the fall or the standing of the church. Now, when he understood sola fide, by faith alone, what he was saying is justification by faith alone. Now, we're going to talk more about what justification means, but by faith alone, salvation by faith alone. And Luther had an aha moment with this idea by faith alone. This is Pilate's staircase. It's located in Rome. There are 28 white marble steps that are really hard. And he climbed up these steps on his hands and knees. And at each step, he lingered over them, over that step, and said a prayer, hoping that God would be impressed and would accept him. He wanted to appease God because he had grown up with the idea that God is an angry person and does not accept us unless we do certain things in a certain way. As he was nearing the top of these steps, as he tells the story, it was almost as if an audible voice was spoken. And a scripture that he had studied before came to him from Romans 1:17. And the scripture is, the just, the righteous, God's followers, the saints, shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Amen. And he kind of said, what am I doing? I'm here on my hands and knees trying to impress God and trying to somehow appease a God that I think is angry. And the just shall live by faith. Faith must be pretty important. The just shall live by faith. Now I'm going to give you a Greek lesson, you lucky people. The Greek word, the New Testament was written in Greek. The word that you read in your New Testament is the Greek word pistos. And pistos is the word that is translated faith. It is also translated two other ways interchangeably. Pistos can mean faith, belief, or trust. All three of these ideas are equal in the eyes of a person who wrote pistos. So just because it says faith, it means belief and trust just as well. They all mean the same. And after our kids' corner, think of pistos, faith, as a trust fall into the arms of Jesus. Trusting him by faith alone, we trust Jesus will have us and not drop us, and he will take care of us. Now, when Luther started to get the idea of what faith meant, and that it was faith, not trying to climb up stair steps to appease God, when he understood that, he said something very interesting. He said, at that moment, I felt myself to be reborn. and to have gone through open doors into paradise. Woo. So this aha moment was a big deal for him. And although he would go on to understand more what faith meant, this was a significant item for him. In fact, in some ways, by faith alone, sola fide is the very underpinning of the Protestant Reformation. Now, as Luther developed his understanding of salvation by faith alone, he gave particular emphasis to what theologians say is justification. That's a big, big, long theological word. But it's important that you know what it means. So I'm going to try to the best of my ability to explain it. Justification by faith alone became the foundation, in many ways, of the Protestant Christian Reformation theology. And it should be for people who have been given the everlasting gospel to preach to the world. It should be the foundation and core of what we as Seventh-day Adventists stand for and share. When Luther posted his 95 theses, his main thrust was to protest against certain practices of the Catholic Church that he considered to be unscriptural. They were selling pieces of paper called indulgences, and you could, by paying money, get your time or a relative's time lessened in purgatory, even get forgiveness of present sins and sins that you would commit in the future. It wasn't until 5 to 7 years after he nailed those 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral Church there that he really began to understand what salvation by faith alone really entailed. Initially, Luther, and this is just some theology, and don't go to sleep on me, but this is part of the story. Luther held to an Augustinian doctrine of justification, salvation by faith alone. Augustine was an early Christian leader, a theologian who greatly influenced the Christian thinking of his time. And Augustine taught justification by faith in this way. He maintained that when a sinner recognizes his inability to keep God's law, and his need of salvation, he then turns to God in faith. God then gives him his Holy Spirit, who heals his will. Justification for Augustine was being made righteous. Being made righteous. Forever changed from a selfish, sinful, to a godly person. And having been justified, the believer then can proceed to keep God's law from the heart, motivated by love. Now, there is a lot of truth in what Augustine taught. However, as Luther continued to study Scripture with the help of some other Protestant reformers, he started to make clear what he saw as unclear before. He saw that justify does not mean to make righteous, but justification means to consider or reckon as righteous. And there's a big difference between those two ideas. Let me give you some different ways of putting it. Justification is the legal declaration. You see the gavel there. It's in a courtroom. It's the legal declaration by God that he makes that concerns our status, not our state. It is the way God chooses to look at us rather than what he does in us. That's what justification is. It is God's accepting us as opposed to him changing us. Thus, Martin Luther arrived at the Protestant Christian distinction between justification, my standing with God before him, and sanctification, another big theological word that we pastors use, which is my Holy Spirit initiated and influenced growth into holiness. While Martin Luther distinguished between justification and sanctification, He did not separate them. It is a very important principle to realize that justification and sanctification are to be kept distinct, but never separate. Distinct, but never separate. They need to both be crucial, important parts of the overall experience of salvation. Now I want to share two Bible passages that greatly influenced Martin Luther in his understanding of salvation by faith alone. The first one comes from Romans 3:28. New King James Version goes like this. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, declared holy, by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Apart from the deeds of the law. Justification is by faith, and it is apart from any human behavior or obedience. Faith is how salvation is received. It is simply the instrument or channel of receiving this wonderful gift called salvation. It is an empty hand that we choose to extend toward God, saying we need a Savior, and God promises to give us grace. The other passage, which is a real favorite of mine, is Ephesians 2:8-10. We'll read verses 8 and 9 first. For it is by grace we have been saved. Through faith, it is not from ourselves. I'm giving it the wider translation there. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Amen. We're saved by grace through faith. And again, Paul bends over backwards to state strongly that salvation is not of anything human. It's distinct from humanity. It is a free gift that Jesus won, and it cannot be earned or achieved. If we were capable of achieving salvation this side of the resurrection, because the Bible says at the resurrection, this mortal will put on immortality. That's when we are raised incorruptible at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're all looking forward to that. But this side of the resurrection, if we could have salvation by anything human, then we could boast. And not only could we boast, but even more serious, we would have a superior personal holiness, and we would not need Jesus Christ as our divine substitute. And anything that smacks of that we don't need Jesus, it can't be. Verse 10, however, is an important part of this passage. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We were created, as another version says, as God's masterpiece. Created in Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do. And so this passage strongly points out that part of the experience of salvation is the sanctification, the personal holiness, to have the Holy Spirit live out his life in us and to change us from the inside out. Justification and sanctification, distinct, but never separate. Salvation is all of Jesus Christ. It is all of Jesus Christ. And faith is just, again, the means by which God is able to present us as reconciled, clean, holy, blameless, and without fault in the sight of a perfectly holy God. When any of us, you or me, choose to make Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, our personal divine Savior, we have the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers us and takes the place hiding our filthy rags, and God can as having the very righteousness of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. By faith alone. By faith alone. It says that God is pleased with us. Not because anything is good within us or we've done certain things, but he is pleased with us because we have made Jesus Christ, who is absolutely perfect, our substitute and our sin bearer. Now, I don't know where it's said anywhere more clearly and more forcefully than 2 Corinthians 5:21. Again, New King James Version. For he, God, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, for us, sinful human beings, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Are you kidding me? Ron Mellor, a sinner who makes lots of mistakes, can simply by faith say, I trust Jesus, I believe in him, I have faith that he can be my Savior. And at that moment, God takes his gavel and strikes it on the wooden mallet thing. He says, innocent,
amen.
Innocent, on the merits of Jesus Christ, Ron Mellor is innocent, and he has salvation full and complete based on what Jesus has done. The Protestant Reformation revealed the big difference between religion and Christianity. The difference between religion and Christianity. It is simply this. Religion is spelled D-O. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. Christianity is about doing, and the Catholic Church really pressed on that. And a lot of the things that they were telling people to do were good. They told people to pray and to worship and to be regular in their church attendance and to do good works. Sola fide is by faith alone. The religious things that we do in our life can be good things. Going to church, that's a good thing. Good to see you here today, ladies and gentlemen. Paying a tithe. Paid my tithe this morning. Yay! It's a good thing. Praying's a good thing. We've done praying here in our worship service today. Reading the Bible. Studying his word. It's a good thing. Keeping the Sabbath. A good thing. But even sincere religious acts, guided and influenced by the Holy Spirit, when they are understood to be a basis of our salvation, take us out of the experience of salvation by faith alone. The Protestant Reformation took the emphasis from do to done. From do to done. Christianity is not based on what we do, even inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is based on what Jesus has already done as far as our salvation goes. Ladies and gentlemen, nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ went to the cross, having lived 33 1/3 years on this earth, never yielding to sin once. He didn't even have a sinful thought ever. And when we trust him, because he completed his mission to be our Savior by his doing perfect sinlessness and dying in our place, we can have Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. It's done. It was finished on Calvary. And we have salvation for that once for all act of Jesus going to that cross for every single human being that would ever live on planet Earth. As sinful human beings, we seem to fight this ongoing battle of relying totally on Jesus, of sola fide, of salvation by faith alone. You see, we're all born Pharisees. We're either a born Pharisee or a recovering Pharisee. We all have something in us that wants our effort, the things we do, to count for something. And it does, it just doesn't count for our salvation. Because there can be no assurance if salvation is of anything human. Good works are an important part of Christianity. Living a Christ-like holy life of obedience, overcoming, is incredibly important. But it's not the basis of our salvation. For our salvation is by faith alone. Do, I have a hand there. It symbolizes things that people do. Good things. Done. I have a cross there because it points to Jesus Christ and not what we do. Do versus done. Have you and I, by faith, accepted Christ's perfect doing and dying? By faith, have we extended that hand, a hand from a sinner that knows that there's no hope other than by Jesus? And have we received this most amazing gift of salvation full and complete? And then the doing becomes a joy because we want to show our love for the one who gave his all for us. Do or done. Let's pray. Loving Father, you gave your Son freely to be our Savior. You sent him on a mission that was so hard. He came to a planet that did not appreciate him, where there was attacks constantly by Satan. And it involved going to the cross and dying. Lord, we are just filled with gratitude that someone would love us that much. Amen. That they would, number one, part with their most prized possession, and that is their only Son. And then, number two, that Jesus himself would be willing to do this and leave heaven itself just to come to this earth and endure all kinds of ugliness for the chance of being our Savior, that we might accept this gift. Whew. Lord, we're just filled with gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Salvation by faith alone. In Jesus' name.